messed up. Okay, so Steve is talking to us this morning. And I've no idea what he's talking about, but that's fine. I will listen and find out that way. Yeah. It's always good to pray. So Lord, thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you are with Steve and that you were with him when he was preparing as well. Lord, I pray that Steve says everything you want him to say, just as you want him to say it, and that we have ears to listen and hear from you directly as well. Amen. Amen.
Yeah? All right. So as I was saying, I'm talking on making time for God in a busy world, which is a topic which has been very close to my heart recently, as something I've been thinking about a lot. And it's also very much to say where it's one of those sermons where, as the speaker, I'm talking as much to myself as I am to anybody else, because I certainly don't think I have all the answers. I don't always get things right, but it's something that's been something I've been thinking about. And following my Baptist upbringing, I was brought up on a three-point sermon. Therefore, I'm going to give you a three-point sermon this morning. So I'm going to look at three things. First, what gets in the way? Second, what does the Bible say? And third, what can we do today? Okay, so starting on that first point, I'm actually going to start by giving you a brief description of my average week to sort of identify some of the things that get in the way for me making time for God. So, on a Monday, I get up, get ready for work, I do some morning Spanish lessons, we're out the house by 7:30 to get Daniel to the childminders. Work on a Monday is a four-lesson teaching day, and I normally have a lot of marking too. On Monday evenings, I have to do house duty at work, so I have tutor meetings, I'm helping the girls with prep, make sure they're all ready for bed, and then I get home about 10 o'clock and go to sleep. Tuesday is the same start, out the house by 7:30. Only three lessons to teach that day, but there's a department meeting and often I'm planning for most of the rest of the week that day. I get home as soon as I can after the working day to take Daniel out for an evening walk, get him to bed by about 6:30. Tuesday evenings are then a rare free evening in the week, so often try and spend a little bit of time with Emma. Wednesday, same start, out the house by 7:30, four lesson teaching day, lots of preps coming in, normally lots of marking. Run a maths workshop at lunchtime, home, Daniel's walk, bath, bedtime. Upper four prep comes in on a Wednesday, so I usually spend that evening marking for the next day. Thursday, up and out by 7:30, four lesson teaching day. Recently had the added stress of covering for an ill colleague for an additional lesson that day. And once I'm home, having done Daniel's walk and bed, I normally rush down some dinner and go out the house again to board game club. Friday is my half day at work, normally a three lesson teaching day, but again, recently another cover lesson for an ill colleague. And then if we're not going away for the weekend, which to be fair, we quite often are, then I try to do a weekly coding practice on a Friday afternoon. It's also in the other point in the week when I try and spend a little bit of time with Emma in the working week. Daniel gets up from his nap, we have a play, he has his tea, go out for an evening walk, bath and bedtime. Emma goes bell ringing on a Friday night, so I tend to either try and do some marking or cleaning if I'm feeling productive, or I'll have some chill out time on my Switch if not, and then I make sure dinner's ready for Emma's return. On Saturday and Sunday, weekends are a bit more variable. We frequently visit family and friends, which is why actually we have such irregular attendance here. But even if we're not visiting, then Saturday's normally filled with home stuff. Sometimes Daniel and I will go out, and sometimes I play Pokemon Go, and there's a Pokemon Go event. Emma and I try to keep Saturday evenings free as the other evening in the week where we can actually spend some time together. Of course, on Sunday, there's normally church in the morning, and then it's normally a good chance to do any remaining planning or marking for work or cleaning and ironing shirts to make sure the house stuff is done. So the only reason I've done that is to give you an overview of the fact that, like many other people, I feel like my weekly life is quite busy. I think that going into this talk, it's really important that we're all honest with ourselves about why we might find it hard to make time for God. So, just for a couple of minutes, I want you to turn to the person next to you, ideally not a family member, and try to describe your average week to them. Try to identify what makes you feel busy, so that going into the talk, we're all honest about why we might struggle to make time for God. I won't ask for feedback, it's just to get us in the right mindset. Okay. So everyone seems to be finishing up there, and hopefully we all agree that in many cases I expect most of us feel like we lead very busy lives. Last week at Dayspring we had the service where we were doing the Walls of Jericho theme. As we were walking around the boxes where people had been asked to write some barriers that they had to God, I noted these words on some of the boxes. So there was the word laziness, distractions, work, life is too busy. I think there's a real feeling today that we live in a world where we're just too busy to make time for God. Between distractions of our phones, constant emails, high demands at work, childcare, Brexit, Netflix, video games, iPads, etc., it can be very easy to begin to wonder how on earth we're going to make any time for God. I mean, at times we can feel like we're neglectful of even our own family members and friends. So it's no wonder that this is a struggle for many of us. However, I think it's important that maybe we start to recognize that being busy probably isn't a new thing. And I think sometimes there's a risk that we idealize the past. We think how much easier it would have been for people without the distractions of the modern world. But I mean, if you lived 2,000 years ago, it's not like you could just nip down to Tesco to do your food shopping. Maybe you were a farmer and you had to spend hours on the land farming, or you had to go to market and then everything wasn't neatly packaged up in one place. You had to go to various stores, find what you needed. You didn't know how much it was going to cost. Even if you wanted to get water, you had to walk everywhere. So for many people, even just getting water was probably a bit of an ordeal. They couldn't just turn the tap on. So, you know, the idea that we're busy, yes, we're busy, but actually other people were probably busy. Back in the past, there weren't often concepts like minimum wage or maximum legal working hours. So I expect that many people were very busy with their own work as well. And so I would suggest that actually people have probably always been busy. It's just what gets in the way that's changed. Having spent a few minutes thinking about what gets in the way, I'm now going to turn a bit to what the Bible says. And I'm going to start by looking at some busy Bible characters. I've recently been reading through Genesis again, and the story of Joseph has really resonated with me. I expect that many of you are familiar with the story of Joseph, so I'm just going to pick out a few highlights and why it's been something that I've been thinking about so much. So first point I want to pick up in the story is when Joseph has been imprisoned for the incident where he supposedly tries to sleep with his master's wife, which is all a lie, but he ends up in prison anyway. So this bit's from Genesis 39, starting partway through verse 20. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So at this point in the story, Joseph has now been put in charge of all of the prisoners. So now, Joseph has a full-time job and a difficult one at that. I don't think anyone would say that being a prison guard is an easy job. But yet, during this time, it says that the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So despite being very busy, he was clearly still in a very good place with God. And then, fast forwarding a little bit in the story, we have the scene where Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And then this is what happens next, from Genesis 41, verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." And so the story carries on. So at this point, in modern day terms, Joseph has effectively been made Prime Minister of Egypt. So even if you thought that prison guard was an easy job and that he'd be able to make some time for God, he now effectively has the job of modern day Theresa May. So I can only imagine he's massively overworked and he's going to struggle to get enough sleep. But fast forwarding a little bit again, later in the chapter, Joseph has children. And in verse 52, it says, the second son named he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. So clearly, even in a time when he's got this job where he's acting as prime minister, he's having children, God is still at the forefront of his mind and he's still clearly in a really good place with God. Now, obviously, we can only speculate about Joseph's relationship and walk with God at this time. It doesn't describe it in great detail. But certainly, what it doesn't say in the passage in Genesis is, and Joseph took long breaks from his duties to walk with the Lord. He prayed every morning for 2 hours and worshipped every evening. It doesn't say that. In fact, the only descriptions we get in this passage are actually of Joseph's duties or his time that he spends with family. So all in all, actually, the passage gives the impression of Joseph being a very busy man. The fact of the matter is Joseph recognized that God was with him, and so he carried out the work that God had entrusted him with. And I would suggest that Joseph probably saw his duties as an act of worship, and much of his praying would have probably been done as he went about his business. And I would actually suggest that many of the other big biblical characters who we idealize and hold in high regard also led incredibly busy lives. To pick out a couple, start by considering Moses. He led a whole nation, much like Joseph. Yes, he did have moments where he had big encounters with God, like getting the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But is that really so different to taking a week off work to go to Momentum or to New Wine? And actually, much of the time, Moses was probably busy dealing with complaining Israelites, guiding them through the desert. And I highly doubt, again, that he had time to take long one-to-one breaks with God for hours on end. Another character that comes to mind for me is King David. Well, he was a king. One of the things he's famous for is carrying out the first ever census in history. So that's a massive undertaking. It's certainly not something that would have been easy to do. He had responsibility for a whole country again. He took part in battles. I expect he felt overworked too. And I'm sure that we could think of many other examples. Now, while all these people did find time to be close to God, like receiving the Ten Commandments, writing Psalms, I expect that their day-to-day lives were very busy. So how then did they make time for God? There's a verse in Colossians that I've had a permanent bookmark in ever since it was highlighted to me on a holiday camp as a teenager. It's Colossians 3:23, and it goes as follows. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, this verse has always, for me, had a really important place in my heart. It's actually one of the most important principles that I've based my recent life on through, as a student, A-levels, university, my PGCE year, more recently being a teacher at Abbeyfield and now teaching at St. Mary's. And I imagine it's probably a principle that Joseph, Moses, David, other biblical characters followed as well. They didn't see their work as independent from God and something that they had to do to get by. They probably saw their work as every bit as important as church or ministry, and they put their heart and soul into it. And in doing so, they aimed to honour God, and I imagine drew closer to God through their work. And I would suggest that a good start point is not to say that we need to always make time for God. I would suggest that, in fact, we should see everything we're already doing as an opportunity to involve God in our lives. He hasn't put work and friendships into the world to get in the way. He's put them there so that we can honour him through them. Another bit of the Bible I've been reading recently is Job. And I'm just going to read a passage from Job 27, starting in verse 11. I will teach you about the power of God. The ways of Almighty I will not conceal. You have seen all this yourselves. Why then this meaningless talk? Here is the fate God allots to the wicked. The heritage of a ruthless man receives from the Almighty. However many his children, their fate is the sword. His offspring will never have enough to eat. The plague will bury those who survive him, and their widows will not weep for them. Though he heaps up silver like dust and clothes like piles of clay, what he lays up the righteous will wear, and the innocent will divide his silver. The house he builds is like a moth's cocoon, like a hut made by a watchman. He lies down wealthy, but will do so no more. When he opens his eyes, all is gone. So one of the obvious ways to read that passage, and certainly it is an important way to read it, is that focusing on earthly things rather than godly things will not get you anywhere in eternity. And there's certainly truth in that. It's certainly a biblical theme that runs through the Bible. But I also thought, what if you read that passage through the lens of what would happen to a righteous man? Effectively, what it says is that the work of a wicked man is meaningless. He may make money or have children, but they have no lasting value. Well, then perhaps you could read that there may be worth in the work of the righteous, that perhaps what they do on the earth does matter. It's not necessarily to say that they'll always be prosperous in their work, but perhaps what they do on earth will be a heritage that God blesses, that by working hard, raising your children well, caring for your family and friends, you'll be doing something that pleases God and has a lasting impact. And so this brings me onto my final point, what can we do today? So I'd like to start by returning to the description of my week, which I gave you at the start of the talk. So at the start, I deliberately left out any mention of when I might spend time with God. And I've come to realize that actually, for me, one of the best ways to make time for God isn't to try to cut things out. Certainly there are disciplines that I'm working on, and I will talk about those. But much of the progress I've made has come from involving God in my daily life. So, when I get up in the morning, I've cut short some of the bits that I used to do on my phone, and I now read the Bible for a few minutes at the start of the day. It's not been a big shift, but it's been an easy way to start the day with a little more time for God. When I'm in the shower, I'll sing worship songs to myself quietly. When I'm getting ready for the day, I spend that time praying. I'm normally on my own anyway, so why not spend that time with God? And when I'm at work and things are busy, if I can, I'll try and send that term arrow prayers, just really quick prayers to God, so that I'm spending time with him there, letting him know what's going on, and just trying to involve in what's happening now at work. On a Monday, my really long day, I've started to just try and take a short 20-minute walk into Cannes at lunchtime. I don't use all of this time for God, but I will often have a quick pray, and I'll also spend some time appreciating nature. There's a stream that runs through the centre of Cannes, and I often just stop there and I'll listen for a minute or two. And it's just a moment when I can appreciate God in what otherwise feels like a very busy day. I've also come to realise that actually it's really important that I keep up some of my commitments in my week. So I mentioned earlier that amazingly I'm one of those people who still plays Pokemon Go. So through this, I've actually met dozens of people in Chippenham who I wouldn't know otherwise. And what I actually have realised now is I have a huge base of friendships with some local people who I have the potential to make an impact with. And actually in the last few months, some of them have really opened up to me and I've been able to lift them up in my prayers. And it's my hope that God will use these friendships for his glory. And I've realised that actually, bizarrely, playing Pokemon Go has become one of my biggest witness potentials for me. And then my other sort of group of friends that I have more widely are those I know through Board Game Club that I mentioned. And again, I've actually come to think, well, maybe spending time with these people, listening to them, building relationships with them, might actually have more value than spending an hour at home alone and praying. Because God can use me in these circumstances to make a difference. And while certainly I do these things because they bring me pleasure and they're something that I enjoy, actually I've also realized they're something that matters to God as well. Now, I have more things that I want to share with you, but now what I want you to do is to spend a short amount of time reflecting on the busy weeks that you described at the start of the talk. So what I want you to do is I want you to discuss a few things, ideally with the person you spoke to before, okay? So, So first thing, think about in your week, when are the times that you're alone and could be praying or worshiping God? Second thing, discuss. Do you see your work as something which honors God? And three, think about which relationships could you be developing as potential witness opportunities. So again, I won't particularly ask for feedback, it's more so for personal reflection. But find the person you spoke to, because they've heard about your busy week, and think about those three questions, and I'll give you a few minutes to do so. Okay, if you want to be wrapping up your conversations then, hopefully you've had a little chance to reflect and to think a little bit about where you might be able to involve God a little more in some of the things you're already doing in life. Now, to sort of wrap things up, I do want to speak a little bit about more intentional practices that we might be able to build in that are good things to build in. So, I've felt, like I've often heard other people describe before, that in some sense I've lost some of the closeness that I had to God compared to when I was a teenager or a student, and I felt like I had more time, and before I became an adult and life, you suddenly realise, begins to feel busy. But I've been reflecting on those practices I had as at that age that kept me close to God, and I realised that in many cases they probably aren't that difficult to replicate. One of the things I did was I frequently would listen to worship songs whilst I was doing homework or driving to school, playing games, reviewing lecture notes, revising. And actually there are many times now when I'm at home or if I'm driving where I could be doing something similar. With music so freely available on demand nowadays, it's really quite an easy thing to do. I used to read the Bible before bed. My evenings have felt busier and often feel more tired than I used to. So as I've mentioned previously, what I did was I went, okay, well, find some time in the morning when I'm feeling a bit more awake and a bit more receptive. There are certain things that I reflect on, like the frequency of being able to go to things like Christian union meetings, discipleship groups, etc., which are harder to replicate. But I can still find time to go to church, to go to pizza night, etc. And I also have just started to recognise that if I can't make it because I'm looking after Daniel or I'm doing some work, then I can still honour God in that rather than seeing it as something separate. Of course, there are additional things we can be intentional with too. So on Friday this week, I had to drive over to the RUH because I had a hospital appointment after work. And just as I was about to set off, I realised that somehow there was still a Michael Bublé Christmas CD in the car. So I thought, right, I better change that. And I switched it for Chris Tomlin's Blood Ran Red. And I had an absolutely brilliant time on that journey over to Bath, just worshipping God. And so I thought, well, you know, for many of us, I imagine that you do, well, you may well drive, have a commute where you drive, or cycle, or get the bus. So why not use that time to worship God if you don't already do so? It's an easy intentional practice to introduce. If you don't like listening to music, then you could find a podcast that you want to listen to and use it at that time. Equally, Emma, I know, got a free audio version of the Bible quite straightforwardly, so you could download that onto your phone, plug it in, and listen to God's Word. There are lots of ways where we could use things like our commute more effectively. Another practice, which would be a good one for many of us, myself included, would be to use our phones less than many of us, I imagine, do. So Emma and I have a couple of friends, Ryan and Emily, and we've visited them recently a couple of times this year. They live in Bedfordshire. Now, what we realised when we came back from visiting them the first time was that we'd barely touched our phones all weekend, and we were talking about it, and we realised that was because Ryan and Emily didn't get their phone out almost the whole weekend. And it was amazing where just being in a culture where other people weren't using their phones massively reduced our tendency to use our phones, and actually we were much more involved in the room and we were developing relationship. And actually these relationships matter to God. So, you know, actually if you start to have a culture where you've put your phone down, other people might as well, and it might begin to, you know, build relationships as a good godly discipline. Now, as I've already mentioned, I've introduced reading the Bible into the beginning of my day. I also try to pray at the end of the day. I think having these times when we do intentionally spend time with God is very important. I feel sometimes that, again, we get this feeling of making time for God is very hard. And again, I think we have a risk of idealizing, certainly I do, idealizing biblical times. We think how much easier it was for people back then to walk with God. You have, you know, people talk about role models like Jesus who took early morning walks when he would pray. And then you think about the Israelites and how they had God there as a pillar of fire, and they were provided with these miracles like provision of manna. And how much easier it would be, we think, to think about God and to give him time back then. But actually, if anything, we should probably be closer to God than those characters in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" So if anything, we're closer to God than those biblical characters, because God is actually living in us. I think sometimes that we risk forgetting this, and we still consider God to be distant because we don't have these physical manifestations in the same way that biblical characters did. But although we don't see him often, God is closer than he's ever been, and so being with him should be a natural part of life. And it is ultimately all about making a choice. There was a worship song, a very well-known one, that spoke to me the other week, "Once Again I Look Upon the Cross Where You Died." And it's a choice to look upon the cross. It's a choice to be close to God. We have to do it once again and again and again. And we do have to be disciplined in doing it so that we develop our relationship with God. Sometimes things are very busy. So when they are, speaking about that idea of arrow prayers comes to mind. You know, actually, if you look at the Psalms, some of them were written in very busy times. So when life gets busy, sing, pray to God. Make him a part of the busy times. Don't exclude him because things are busy. And of course, I also want to think about, you know, actually, just to be clear, why we should make time for God. And actually, Dave Hall spoke about this a bit last month. In his sermon on the 17th of Feb, he said, when you discipline yourself to feel close to God, it gets easier to feel close to God. When you aren't disciplined, it gets harder. Just when you need God, because you aren't disciplined, it gets hard to feel him close. So the first thing to note is that being close to God actually feels good. As I said already, this idea of making time and being close to God has been something that I've been working on and on a real journey with over the last few months. And being honest with you, for the past few years, I'd forgotten how different it feels when you start trying to walk closely with God again. It's not like you have these amazing breakthrough moments in your day-to-day life, but actually it's just that feeling of things seem that bit more manageable and things seem that bit more worth it when you realize you're doing things for God and you're not doing them for yourself or for other people. Also, another thing which I reflected on is that if you don't have time for God, it's probably actually a sign that you don't have time for other important relationships. if I'm shutting God out, then what that probably means is I've become quite inward focused in my own life. And being inward focused doesn't just cut off God, it cuts off family, it cuts off friends. And so actually it's probably a sign of needing to reassess where you're at more generally. One strange thing that I've noticed recently is that I found I don't feel God's presence in the same way as much in church meetings when I'm regularly spending time with him and I'm in good practices. And I was reflecting on this and thought, well, maybe what that's a sign of is that God doesn't need to break through just to get me to notice him. And so perhaps actually that feeling where I'm not as aware in a proper sense is actually just a sign that I'm in a more healthy, more comfortable relationship. And so don't be surprised if in trying to get closer to God, you suddenly don't feel like he's with you everywhere you go. It doesn't really work like that. And so, in conclusion, although I entitled my talk Making Time for God in a Busy World, I would suggest really it should have been called Spending Time with God, Acknowledging that the World is Busy. There's no magic cure, and many of us won't clear out hours in our week in order to spend time with God. And I don't actually believe that God wants us to do that in many circumstances either. And indeed, much of my own preparation for this talk has been done in moments when I've had something occur to me and I've jotted a note down in my phone, because actually I've not found that there's been great swathes of time when I can sit down and dedicate thought to it. My life's been busy, but I've been able to think about it and walk with God. Of course, there are specific times in our life when we should dedicate more time to God. And indeed, we should reassess our lives regularly to make sure that we're not blocking God out. But in practice, I would suggest that the busy nature of our lives might actually be important to God. So look for where God wants to use you in your work, your relationships, and everything else that you do in life. And stop thinking of those things as getting in the way, and start asking God how he can use you in those things instead. But also do things in little steps. For example, for me, getting back into reading the Bible was a New Year's resolution. I didn't actually start it until February. Be realistic. Don't beat yourself up if you don't feel like you're making proper time for God. I mean, again, just going back to the biblical characters, it's not likely that many of us have a job that's as busy as Theresa May's. So actually, there are probably very famous biblical characters who struggled more than you did with the busyness of their own lives. So I just want to finish with a quick prayer before handing back over to Rosie. Lord, we recognize that in practice, we probably aren't the first generation to lead very busy lives. And Lord, certainly I and anyone else who feels it as well, we would repent of using that as an excuse to not be close to you. And we pray that we would be receptive to letting you to be a part of our lives. We pray you would bless us in our work and in our relationships. And may you show us how you're already a part of our lives. And may we involve you more in them. We pray that you would show us godly practices that we can build into our weekly routine. And we pray that you would help us to be disciplined. And we pray that this week we would know you more in our busy lives than we have done so far. In your name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. That was great. I sometimes feel like there's so much in there, but I'm sure that each of us would have picked up on the thing that is relevant for us. I feel actually quite encouraged by that, as you admit, giving us time to think about where we do meet with God, where we do have those opportunities. I think you actually know that, yeah, that's okay. It's good. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for this time we've had together this morning. And please help us to be aware of you this week in all the things we're doing, and in all of these things we might be meeting together, and with all of those people you have planned for us to meet with, to witness to, and Lord, help us be aware of you in everything. Amen. Awesome. That's it really then this morning. We're a bit early. Stay around and chat for a few minutes.